Please rise in body or spirit for the reading of the scripture. Today's readings are from Revelation chapter 21, verse 1 through 8, and verses 22 through 27. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. From the former heaven and the former earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, made ready as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Look, God's dwelling is here with humankind. He will dwell with them, and they will be his peoples. God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. There will be no mourning, crying, or pain anymore, for the former things have passed away." Then the one seated on the throne said, "Look, I'm making all things new." He also said, "Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true." Then he said to me, "All is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will freely give water from the life-giving spring. Those who emerge victorious will inherit these things. I will be their God, and they will be my sons and daughters." And then from Revelation chapter 21, verses 22 through 27, "I didn't see the temple in the city, because its temple is the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb. The city doesn't need the sun or the moon to shine on it, because God's glory is its light, and its lamp is the Lamb. The nations will walk by its light, and the king of the earth will bring their glory into it. Its gate will never be shut by day, and there will be no night there. They will bring the glory and honor of the nations into it. Nothing unclean will ever enter it, nor anyone who does what is vile and deceitful, but only those who are registered in the Lamb's scroll of life." The inspired word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
We have already prayed and asked God to be with us and to open us up to have a spirit that's able to listen. And so I invite us to be in that place this morning of being able to hear what God's word is to us. I want to start by saying thank you for this opportunity. And this is the last time that is scheduled so far for me to preach here. I don't know if other times will come up later on, but I want to reflect a little bit at the beginning on just some things about our time together here. And so I've written these as some true confessions, some things that you might not know about me or things that have happened here. And most of them are intended to be funny, so this is to loosen us up and laugh together and have a little bit of fun. So first, true confession. I don't know if you've seen these boxes of raisins. They're usually out there. They're for Sunday school snacks. Well, true confession, I've eaten a lot of these on my own and not on Sundays. So you might say that I've stolen from the Sunday school stash of snacks, okay? So that's my true confession. I'll also say that whenever I offer these raisins to someone, I say, "Hey, do you want some hard, dry raisins?" And people usually say no. I would offer them to Greg all the time. I've offered them to Steve before. People generally don't want hard, dry raisins. And I looked at this morning. These expired were best by one of 18, so January of 2018. You know, I've eaten a lot of these raisins, true confession.
Hard, dry raisins.
Hard, dry raisins. True confession, that bathroom that's in the gathering place, I left the window open all night long on purpose once, and I know that was a security risk, so I'm sorry, trustees. But I was in the bathroom one day and minding my own business, doing my own thing, and I happened to look in the mirror, and I looked up, and you know what was above me? There was a bat taking a nap. And I don't know what your reaction is when you see a bat, but my reaction is to scream and run and then calmly collect myself and go back and help the bat get to where it needs to go. But if you're using the bathroom, it's really not encouraged to, like, run away right away. So I didn't do that. I finished up, washed my hands, opened the window, shut the door, and put a sign, "Do not use this bathroom. There's a bat napping. We will check back tomorrow." And so I did that, true confession. True confession, Now, nobody get offended by these, okay? I don't like the rummage sale. When I see piles of treasures to be sorted and distributed, it like makes me have a visceral reaction. Like I can't handle it. I just want to get away. It overwhelms me to see piles of stuff like that. So imagine my surprise when I realized that I committed myself to being in charge of the rummage sale. One time I said, oh yeah, the youth needs a fundraiser. We can do that. And then I thought, wait a minute, I'm the youth. So that was interesting. But the youth, as they do, did great work and they got it all out. And one night we got the whole thing set up and it was not terribly traumatic. So that's a true confession. True confession, the song Trees of the Field, I don't like that song. I don't know, it's just annoying to me, and Ryan feels the same way. So whenever it's usually Chaos sings that, so I'm one of the leaders, and so I tell Ryan in advance, hey, we're singing Trees of the Field today. And, you know, that's just our kind of code. So if you like that song, it's really just fine. We have different opinions. True confession, several years ago, now this is kind of really a confession. Some of you may not know this, and it could be significant. Our organ was out of commission for several weeks, I don't remember how long. This was years ago. And we were fairly new to the church, and I'd been on a group that had helped to start Shared Blessings, and our family schedule at the time was such that we could be here for Shared Blessings on most of the Saturdays. And so I was here for Shared Blessings, and usually the girls could come with me. And we were cleaning up, and Leah came, and she had a giant scratch on her face, and she was bleeding a little bit and kind of upset. And I said, what happened to you? And she said, well, I fell. We were playing, and I fell, and the whistle in the wall scraped me. And I'm like, whistle in the wall, you know. But I was cleaning up, and we were about done. And if you've ever been at Shared Blessings, by the time you're about done cleaning up, you just want to go home. And so I was in that space, and I thought, well, that's a weird story. Okay, a whistle in the wall. And just kind of chalked it up to a preschooler's story. Well, then some short time later, I was reading in the newsletter or an email about the vandalism to the organ and how they'd been in and messed with the pipes and da-da-da. And I thought, that's interesting. Well, so then I said to Leah the next Sunday we were at church, and I'm like, can you show me where the whistle in the wall is that scraped your face? And she's like, oh, well, it's right up here. Well, it turns out that these pipes back here, if you're a kid and you get back here and you blow into them, they sound like whistles. And if you have a good amount of time, like, because if your mom's downstairs being preoccupied in the kitchen, you can pull them out and blow in them, and you can do all sorts of things that are really, that you shouldn't do. And so I went sheepishly to Pastor Paul, and I'm like, I know an organ vandal. I gave birth to her. And Leah gave me permission to tell that story. So, true confession, we did offer to pay for it. And if, like, 10 years ago, I'm like, gosh, I can't imagine what it's going to cost to repair an organ. Okay, we can repair the organ. And they said, oh, no, they'll repair it when the maintenance guy comes next time. So if you missed the organ while it had been vandalized, I'm sorry, that's my fault. True confession, this is my thought when we first started attending here. I thought, I cannot believe that so many people drink decaf. Where is the real coffee? True confession. True confession, you guys, you have brought me so much joy. This congregation has just brought me much joy. I love watching us grow in discipleship, starting Shared Blessings and gigs. Working with the children and the youth, going on mission trips, all of those have brought me great joy. Rehearsing with Chaos fills my spiritual cup. It really does. There have been times that chapel with Little Friends Preschool brought so much joy, especially during Christmas, because we had the little manger scene set up here, and we got to go through the Christmas story with those classes time after time after time, because they all wanted to play the different parts. So we'd switch out costumes, and they get to do it over and over one morning. So that was a lot of joy. I'm filled with joy when I see the dedication of gigs and other groups to care for each other, that they remember that the I in GIG stands for impact, and that it's about taking care of each other and taking care of the world. I am filled with joy when I see all of the in-gathering kits that people put together to care for others, and for the work that is done to provide food for people who are food insecure and need table fellowship. So with Shared Blessings and with the mobile food pantry, that fills me with great joy. I think about singing and working with Adam Heil, and he said I could say his name today, teaching and being with youth. All of these things have brought me great joy. You all have made my eyes wet so many times with joy. That's a true confession. And another true confession is this congregation has also given me tears of sadness and tears of pain, because learning and growing hurts sometimes, doesn't it? I've wept from you at times, and you may have wept from me as well. Speaking of weeping, one time I hurt myself in here. I was carrying that big kneeler thing. I don't even know where it's at right now. Is it over there? Okay. That is heavy. And it's awkward. And I was carrying it one time, and I hit myself really hard in the shin. And I don't remember what I said, true confession, but it was not something that's usually heard in this space, okay? So true confession. But another true confession about this space is that I have come here so many Sunday mornings, time after time after time, week after week. I have come here into this place early in the morning on Sundays before anyone is here to pray for us. To say, God, let our people come and be hungry and vulnerable and open, do a work in our hearts and our lives so that we can go out in the community and make a difference. That's a true confession. True confession, folks, is I really love you, and I'm so deeply grateful for this opportunity to have served with you. So that's a bit about confessions of the past and some things about our present. And I wanted to pick today, I picked this scripture from Revelation because it's about the future. And I want to look at the future with you, because what we envision and know of the future so impacts what we do in the present. Revelation is a good book to study. I fully endorse the study of all the books of the Bible. Okay, so just as a few weeks ago when I preached, I said, hey, you guys should read Mark. I'm going to say you should read the book of Revelation. Now, I will say that it would be good to get together with a group of people and some study materials, because it can be a book that's hard to understand. And the book of Revelation has been used many times to scare people. It's been used to entertain. But I think that the book of Revelation is written to encourage. It is the message that says to the churches that it was written to, take courage, stand strong, don't forget, good will triumph and evil will be overthrown. Revelation is a reminder of the message that Jesus had declared decades earlier, before this book was written, that the kingdom of God is here. Now, Jesus is Lord. So it's an encouragement to us to keep going, because the kingdom is now, it is part of us, but it's not yet fully among us. At one moment, at time in the future, there will be no more tears, there will be no sickness, no confusion, no more death. And I'm saying that, and I know that there are people among us today who have lost siblings and in-laws and many people that we are close to. That's not going to be anymore. That's going to be over and done with. It says in this scripture that nations will walk in the light of the Lamb. Kings will bring their glory into God's kingdom for the glory of God rather than their own. And evil will be no more. That's the story of Revelation. One more true confession. This is going to be a longer sermon. Okay, true confession. But I, like I said, I did tell them that they have some extra time downstairs. Well, I wanted to walk you through some things that I've been thinking about. I've been challenged lately by the work that I've been doing. Some of you know that I resigned from my work here as a discipleship ministries coordinator so that I could do a full-time internship at the University of Iowa Hospital this summer, and that now this fall and going into the spring, I can focus on schoolwork, and I can do the work of transition for our family and do all of the writing for the Board of Ordained Ministry. So it's been kind of fun and a little bit odd to be a regular member again. You know, I've gotten to be an usher. I've gotten to run PowerPoint. I get to sing with Chaos when I can. I've been able to help hand out donuts at the high school and work at Shared Blessings. And I'm really excited because this week I get to help serve dinner at youth group. And so that's an exciting thing to be a regular church person again. So I thank you for the understanding as I change my focus this year so that our family can transition. So the candidates for the Board of Ordained Ministry are tasked with responding to some questions. Can you change the slide? Thank you. So here are a few of them. There's 16 of them, and I'm not going to read them all, of course, because you wouldn't like that. What's the understanding, your understanding of evil as it exists in the world? What is your understanding of humanity and the human need for divine grace? What is your understanding of the kingdom of God, the resurrection, and eternal life? So all of those things you write like pages about. But the one I really had trouble with was this one. How do you interpret the statement, Jesus Christ is Lord? And I want to talk about that today. Because we see in what we read today that in Revelation that the lordship of Christ will culminate in a new heaven and a new earth with the fullness of the kingdom. But we also know that Jesus declared God's kingdom to be among us even now, that Jesus is Lord right now. 2 weeks ago at our annual church conference, we looked at the Matthew text of the Great Commission. You know, that's the one, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and teaching them to do everything I've commanded you, and I will be with you always. We talked about that scripture, but that scripture is set up by saying that the 11 disciples went and met Jesus on a mountain, and this is after he had died and was resurrected and was getting ready to ascend into heaven. So the disciples went up on the mountain, and Matthew says they worshiped, but some doubted. So we talked about that, about what does it mean that these disciples who knew Jesus and had been with Jesus and had watched the miracles, how is it that they doubted? It seems shocking, but I'll be honest. And this actually is a confession. I doubt too. My faith is not always strong. And even as a United Methodist, who I have affirmed my membership, and Ryan, will you flip this slide? Our membership vow says, I confess Jesus Christ as my Savior, and I put my whole trust in his grace and promise to serve him as Lord. So even though I've taken this vow and I believe this, yet I doubt and I wonder, what does it mean that Jesus is Lord? So I was having trouble. You can go back to the next slide. So I was having trouble because I was working on this question of what does the lordship of Jesus Christ mean? And I was doing that, working on that question, what's it mean Jesus is Lord? On the day after I went to that human trafficking in Eastern Iowa presentation, and there I learned more about human trafficking, which I already knew was existing in our community. I already knew it, and I know it personally. But I learned things about it that made me say, wow, is Jesus Lord? So did you know that human trafficking is the fastest growing organized crime worldwide? It's the fastest growing. It's already passed arms and weapons trafficking, and so it sits number 2 in organized crime worldwide. Drug trafficking is number 1, and human trafficking is expected to cross into the number one place in the year 2020. That's a couple months away. Sorry. It's a little bit much for me. That knowledge is too much. It's too much because, you know, if I asked us to raise our hands, how many of you know someone that's been affected by drugs? We have hands all over the place, right? What if in a few years, as human trafficking moves into number one organized crime worldwide and supplants drug trafficking, we say the same thing. How many of you know someone affected by human trafficking and hands go up everywhere? So I was thinking about that, thinking about how the church has to respond. Like, just like we have support groups and ministries for substance abuse addiction, we also have to develop ministries to support the survivors of human trafficking. We need to support the perpetrators of human trafficking because they are also dehumanizing themselves as they dehumanize others. And just as it's difficult to imagine that we would have young women in our communities who are being assaulted, we also have to imagine that we have men in our communities that are willing to pay to do that. It's unimaginable. It's unimaginable to me. So perhaps we need to start with thinking about how do we support people that are addicted to pornography, because the rise in the rate of the production of that adult material is paralleling the rise in the rate of human trafficking and in that segment of human trafficking. And that adult media industry in the United States brings in more money than the NBA, the NFL, and the MLB combined. So that's more than professional baseball, football, and basketball all put together. And if you think about how much money those sports bring in, that this media, adult entertainment, brings in more money than that. And when we look at the statistics, the studies that they have done, there is very little difference between the rates of which unchurched people are using this and churched people are using this. In fact, 5% of pastors surveyed said that they have trouble with addiction to adult media. So it's a horrific reality, and it was heavy on my heart as I'm trying to write this answer to what's it mean that Jesus Christ is Lord? Okay, it's a big question because it doesn't seem like Jesus Christ is Lord. And we know that it's not just human trafficking. I mean, we live in a world that's full of racism and sexism and other sorts of isms. We have people in our world that are dying trying to immigrate to safety. We have political corruption as commonplace. And I talked about 2 weeks ago how 2/3 of young adults surveyed said that they don't know that anyone cares about them. Only 1/3 of young adults said that they know somebody cares about them. 2/3 said, I'm not sure. Can you imagine 2/3 of that? And even in Tipton, I know people that are postponing cancer surgery and that can't buy their needed prescriptions because they can't afford them. I know of landlords that won't fix their broken heating systems and they won't fix leaking roofs. So is Jesus Lord, or are our landlords and our drug companies and our politicians, are they Lord? So can you hear my doubt? Can you hear where I'm coming from, how this was a troublesome question for me? And then for me, the doubt gets even louder when it seems like the church is missing the point. So the church is called to be different than the rest of the world. We're supposed to know that Jesus is Lord. But sometimes our churches, we get too comfortable and we forget to care. We get preoccupied. I was talking to a friend about this and about my concern about human trafficking in our community. And a friend said, you know, you might have to look outside the church. The church might be incapable right now because of their own stuff that they have going on. Which, you know, that's a factor in why young people are leaving the church. You know, it's not that they are no longer spiritual or they're not seeking meaning, but they doubt if the church provides meaning because they think that we're more concerned about ourselves than about others. Now, I don't believe that. I think very much that we care. I know that you care. I have heard your caring voices. I have seen your hands and feet do the work. I know that you care, so I don't believe that. And yet at the same time, I'm also aware that we do tend to have an inward focus, and we are having some fear amongst us and some looking in at ourselves. But church, we have to change our focus, and we have to let Revelation remind us that there is work to do in the world. The churches in Revelation 2 had largely forgotten. They'd become lukewarm in their testimony, and they'd gotten tired. And so I wonder, church, are we tired too? How are we planning to do the work of healing in our community? How are we going to confront human trafficking? How are we going to help our neighbors who don't have heat, who don't have enough food? What are we doing about the two-thirds of these young Americans who don't know if anyone cares about them? And more, what are we doing to prevent our young people that are in middle school and high school and elementary school from becoming that generation in 10 years? We want our kids right now to know that they're cared about, and we want them to leave, to go to wherever they go or come back or stay or whatever they do. We want them always to know that they're cared about. So on one hand, I know by faith that in spite of everything I see, that Jesus is Lord. And on the other hand, I am one of the disciples up on the mountain that says, and some doubted, that I'm not sure. Because I don't have it all together. And I am concerned about the fear that I hear among us. Fear always pops up because of looking toward and causes us to look at maintenance and self-preservation, and we begin to focus on ourselves when we're afraid. Fear causes us to grasp for security rather than to reach out and serve. Fear says we're going to take care of ourselves first at all costs. Courage is what opposite of fear. It exists with fear. It's a different reaction. Courage overrides fear only when the hero is able to focus outside of herself and stop focusing within. Fear is from self-focus. And I hear fear in our midst. I hear fear of decline. Specifically, I hear fear of decline around finances and getting adequate volunteers for our Sunday jobs and for other ministries. And all that's good. Getting finances in order is good. Getting Sunday servants is good. And those things do matter. But church, you know that Jesus is calling us to more. You know that. We have to focus on what really matters. We cannot just be focused within and fearful of our own demise, because Jesus is Lord. So acknowledging Jesus as Lord, but only in this space for an hour, or only in this building, only in the stuff that's for us, is never, ever going to let us live abundantly. Jesus is Lord of every hour of every day of the week and sends us out to help people know it. When we live according to Christ's full lordship in all of our lives, then we live abundantly. But when we're self-absorbed, we edge Jesus off of the throne and out of the leadership position, and we instead let ourselves and our group, our clan, get in that place instead and try to self-preserve. So when I say that Jesus is Lord, and that means that you're not, and when I say Jesus is Lord, and that means that I'm not, it's not like a finger-waving playground taunt. I'm not going, Jesus is Lord, and you're not, and you're not, you're not, you're not. I'm not doing that. It's not like that. Instead, it is a thanks be to God. Jesus is Lord. Hallelujah. Because when we acknowledge Jesus as Lord, then we don't have to worry about the security of our own future or the security of our own position, because our loyalty lies with the Lord, with Jesus, who is always good to us, who will always provide for our every need. When Jesus is Lord, salvation is freely given because Christ's servant leadership led him to wash feet and break the Sabbath, and ultimately die on a cross. And that same power of servanthood defeated death and the grave and hell. So this reminder in Revelation is encouragement. It's a reminder that God will wipe every tear from our eyes. There will be no more death and no more mourning or crying or pain. Because that's what God's about. And when we follow in the Lordship of Christ, that's what we get. We get to that place. But we cannot think about that while we're trying to be our own lords and maintaining our own status and practice. We have to let Jesus be Lord. And from the security that we have in Christ, we can live fruitful lives of ministry together. Because the Lord goes ahead of us, carrying the banner and the cross, and inviting us to follow. So I've talked about my trouble with that question. I do want to share with you how I came down on it. So I'm going to read just an excerpt, a small excerpt of what I said. So the question is, what does it mean, Jesus Christ is Lord? I'd say we see the brokenness of humanity all around us, in the church, in the world, in systems of injustice, in our neighborhoods, in our families, and even in our own hearts. And yet the one who conquered sin and death and the grave is continually bringing resurrection to our death, not just to our bodies, which will be resurrected, but to the decay and brokenness of our lives. The lordship of Christ is not easy to grasp, particularly when we're walking through the valleys. But it's real nonetheless. At times in ministry and life, I long for a more earthly kingdom, for a more earthly Lord that will set things right now for Christ's sake. And I grow impatient with my firm hope and trust in the Lord. But at those frustrating times, the proclamation, Jesus is Lord, is the most powerful. The proclamation, Jesus is Lord, is most powerful in those difficult times because it is foolishness. It is foolishness on all accounts, except by grace through faith. And so Jesus Christ as Lord is a negation of all the acceptance of other lords, because if Jesus is Lord, then Hollywood's not. And the NFL isn't, and the Federal Reserve isn't, and the Leadership Council is not Lord. And what maybe is hardest to accept is I am not Lord. But Christ as Lord demands our submission, but that demand turns out to be a gift of grace, even as it is a continual challenge. Jesus is the ascended Lord of all, sitting at the right hand of the Father, and knows exactly what it is to be human. Jesus, the one who alone prays perfect prayers, the giver of life, the breather of peace, is sitting at the right hand of God as our continual mediator when the brokenness all around us is great. And folks, sometimes it is. We are invited to pray in the name of Christ our Lord, asking for God's redemption and reconciliation to be poured into our churches and into our families, and into our hearts, even as we roll up our sleeves and we do the work that God has called us to. Our Lord and High Priest is continually advocating on our behalf and on behalf of the world. Christ is able to sympathize with our weakness and is full of perfect strength on our behalf. First United Methodist Church in Tipton, God is not done with you. I know that we like to gather here with our friends and with our decaf. But I also know that you want to be people that are about more. You know that you're called to make a difference in the world. And I know you've had trials lately. I know that we've had members that have moved and lay leaders, including me, have left and vacancies have become holes. And sometimes that stress causes disagreements and maybe we lay the blame in the wrong places. But we're still here. We're doing good ministry right now. So don't give up. Keep looking. Keep looking. Refuse to get lukewarm. Refuse to let someone else do what you're called to do. Refuse that. Gather together to study scripture. Pray with each other. Do this on your own, like Joe talked about with the children earlier. Get to know what God wants and who God is. Do this for Christ's sake. Let your family calendars acknowledge that Jesus is Lord. Let your bank accounts acknowledge that Jesus is Lord. Let Jesus be the Lord of whatever your place is, wherever you leave and go to. Let Jesus be Lord there. Shine the light of Christ in your place. Live with integrity. Treat your neighbors and your patients and your supervisors and your family members and your clients, whoever you come in contact with, treat them with the love of Christ. Because what you do shines a light for Jesus in the world. First United Methodist Church in Tipton, you matter. You matter to me. You matter to God. You matter to Tipton. You matter to those who are victims of unspeakable horrors, to those who are victims of injustice among us. You matter to those who have no idea that anyone cares about them and that God loves them and has gifted them. And you know what? God has gifted and called and empowered and equipped each of you and all of you and us together as a body. We have work to do. Be the hands and feet. You need to be the hands and feet. You need to do it for the sake of the world, and you need to do it for the sake of you, because you live abundantly when you are the hands and feet of Christ. So listen to the Spirit, repent, be renewed, and acknowledge Jesus as Lord, because Jesus is Lord. I want to pray for you. I invite you that if you want to be a church that does things that matter, that you would stand and let us pray together. So I invite you to stand. If you want to be a part of something bigger than just in here, if you're able to stand, please stand. God, you have given us many, many gifts. You've given us many people. You've given us your Spirit. So I pray that your Spirit would continue to do work amongst these people. You'd use their hands and their voices and their feet and their bodies and their money and their time to make a difference in this world. That you would break down the systems of injustice that are here. That you would build up a spirit of renewed hope and joy and peace, that you would give a vision to the leaders and to each person to know what it is that you are calling them to in this place and in this time and in these coming weeks and months and years, that this church would be a beacon of hope and of healing in this community. We pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ, who is Lord. And all God's people said, Amen.